It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
We shall be taking a series of teachings all through the Youth Alive Forum entitled Separated for Exploits. And we're taking part one in that series of teachings this afternoon. The scriptures make it clear in the book of Daniel 11 verse 32. It said, those that do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with flatteries. But those that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. According to scriptures, therefore, we see that the knowledge of God is the foundation for a life of exploits. In fact, according to scriptures, we are made to understand that everyone foreknown by God is ordained for a glorious destiny. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He said, and them he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So everyone that is a child of God is ordained for a glorious destiny. Say with me, I have a glorious destiny. How glorious is this destiny? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. He said, eyes have not seen and ear has not heard. It has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So according to scriptures, the destiny that God has packaged for you and for me is so glorious that it has never been witnessed before. It means that the kind of story God has ordained for you has never been told before. There are many great things that may have happened on the earth, but not your type yet. That's what God is saying. Not your type yet. There is still something he has packaged in you that nobody has seen before. There is still something he has packaged in you that nobody has heard before. There is still something he has loaded in you that nobody has thought about before. And the good news is that upon this mountain, the world shall see it. I said the world shall see it. I said the world shall see it. Somebody believe it, say loud amen. So glorious is this destiny that Zechariah chapter 8, verse 20 down to verse 23, the Bible says that one city shall go to another and the inhabitants of one nation to the other. And they will say, let us go and seek the Lord upon the holy mountain. He said, and they will say, I will go also. Why? For 10 men out of all languages of the earth, they shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. And they will say, we will go with you because we have heard that God is with you. I like that. It did not say 10 men will take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, but 10 men out of all languages of the earth. In other words, God has not ordained you to be a local champion. You are ordained to be a global entity, and the global star in you shall rise. I said the global star in you shall rise. It means that they will not only know your testimony in your locality, but men in far-flung countries of the earth, in the corners of the earth, shall be speaking of the testimonies of God in your life. I thought somebody was shouting a louder amen. So colorful is this destiny that the scripture says in Isaiah 60 and verse 22. It said, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. And I, the Lord, will make it quick in his time. It means that God is accelerating your destiny in this season. The things that it takes others one lifetime to accomplish, in 1 year, it shall be delivered into your hands. He said, and a small one shall become a strong nation. In Micah chapter 4, verse 6 down to verse 8, the Bible said, I will gather her that halted, he said, and her that was driven out and that I've afflicted. He said, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast afar off, the one that was forgotten, I will make her a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Zion. It means it doesn't matter how far you have been flung, how far you have been forgotten. He said, those that were cast far off, I will still make them a strong nation. There are people hearing the sound of my voice that will be turned into strong nations. I thought somebody believed they will be shouting a louder amen. So very clearly, according to scriptures, we are made to see that God has packaged you not just to escape in this season, but to thrive in this season. He wants to make of you a strong nation, an entity that nations will be coming to bow to. I see that becoming your own experience. Don't begin to imagine and say, look, you don't know me, pastor. You don't know my story. You don't know my situation. You don't know where I am now. God knows where you are. And hear what he said concerning you. He said, you that was forsaken and that was hated. There are some of you here that nobody even bothered to know where you went. As you are at Shiloh, they don't care where you are. He said, but the same you, I will make an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. The joy of many generations. Now hear this. Don't bother about who cares less about you. Don't bother about who hates you. Don't bother about who ignores you. There is coming a season, and we have entered that season now, where people cannot but their attention cannot but be caught by you. I see that becoming your own experience from now. You know the meaning of that? There comes a time when the star of a man begins to shine. Just like the sun. You may not like it, but you can't ignore it. In the same way, for somebody under the sound of my voice, they may not like you, but they will not be able to ignore you. If you are the one I'm talking about, say louder, amen. I said, if you are the one I'm talking about, say louder, amen. So what are we saying? That God has a plan of exemption for you, but beyond exemption, he has a plan of exploits for you. He has a plan of exemption. John 16:33. The Bible says, I've spoken these things unto you that in me you may have peace. He said, the world there will be tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, in me you will have peace. And I look at it this way. When the tribulations and the turmoils are going around the world, Jesus is saying, I've made a plan for your escape. Inside me you have peace. Inside me you have peace. While others are troubled, he said, inside me you will have peace. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. In many parts of the world, particularly in America and some of those parts of the world, South America, the Caribbeans and America, in particular, you have seasons where they have tornadoes, all kinds of tumultuous winds blowing. And in such areas, they have bunkers. And those bunkers represent safety. Whenever the tornadoes are coming, you either get out of town or you get into a bunker. Now, the truth is this. Outside the bunker, there is trouble. But inside the bunker, there is peace. Because it represents a tower of defense. It keeps you away from the troubles of the time. Jesus is saying, I have made myself a bunker for you. While trouble is turning the world upside down, inside me you will have peace. But I love what he says next. He goes on to tell us in that verse, he said, be of good cheer or rejoice. That's what he said. Why? Not only are you going to have peace, but I have overcome the world. I've put you in dominion over the world. Shout hallelujah. So from that scripture, we see two things very clearly. Exemption and then exaltation. Exemption from tumult, but exaltation into exploits. God exempts you from troubles, but he exalts you to triumphs. And that is what somebody will begin to experience upon this mountain. If you are the one I'm talking about, say louder, amen. But according to scriptures, there are always conditions to every scriptural provision. The question, therefore, is what are the conditions to being separated into exploits? I don't just want to be exempted from troubles. I want to be exalted to triumphs. I want to be exalted to exploits. What are the conditions for this exemption and this exaltation into the realm of exploits? And we shall be exploring in detail the book of Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, that verse in particular. He said, such as do wickedly against the covenant, he said, he shall corrupt them with flatteries. But the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Let's begin to examine what this verse is showing us. The first part of it is very critical concerning exploits. He said, those that do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt them with flatteries. You see, the first and most important step towards a life of exploits, number one key is the key of sanctification. The key of sanctification. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, the Bible tells us, he said, I commend you to God and towards the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It means only the sanctified will enjoy their portion with God. No wonder the biggest temptation of our generation is corruption. The devil is trying to corrupt destinies. It takes a destiny of great value and begins to rubbish it with all kinds of corruption. All kinds of corruption. You check, you will discover that many times among the youthful, you find the things that discolor destiny. Why? Because Satan knows the value of your destiny. He knows the value of your destiny. He knows the color of your destiny. We heard the testimony this morning of one of us. She said that she applied for short service into the army and was not taken. And people began to call her. There is a general that is looking for girlfriends. If you are interested, he can get you into the army. That's corruption. Why? Because Satan knows the value of her destiny and is trying to derail her. So suddenly, refusing that, she came to report the matter to God. And before the prayer will end, the answer has come. Because those who refuse to defile themselves will definitely enjoy lifting by God. Those who refuse to defile themselves. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the scripture tells us concerning Daniel. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and his portion. He refused to be part of the corruption of his day. He refused to be part of the things discoloring destinies in his day. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19 to 21, it says, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of God depart from iniquity. In a great house, there are many vessels of gold, of silver, and of wood, and of earth. Some are to honor, and some to dishonor. He said, but if a man will purge himself of this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What is God saying? The color of destiny is determined by your decision for sanctification. The color of your destiny, the glory of your destiny is determined by your decision for sanctification. Is determined by your decision for sanctification. Is determined by your decision for sanctification. Now hear this. Nobody may see you sinning, but they will see your frustration. Nobody may see your defilement, but they will definitely see your limitation. And that is why don't be concerned about how you look outside. Be more concerned about how you look inside. How you look inside. Settle down and look at your life. The Bible said, let us examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. There are many people today that are living colorless lives because of the defilements they permit around their lives. Please hear this. This is very pungent because we live in a generation that has multiplied corruption. Multiplied corruption. different ways of getting access to corruption. Today you have somebody carrying a mobile phone and you think the phone is only for calling until you open it. And inside the phone, all kinds of corrupt materials. Why? Simply because the devil knows the color of his destiny. And therefore he attacks it with corruption. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. I can never forget, I was told about a person sitting down inside church in the midst of the service in a certain location. The service was going on. The word was going on. And here he was, finely dressed, smartly dressed, sitting right there on the front row and on his phone. It looks as if he's writing his note, but on the phone was pornography. And in God's presence, he was busy examining pornography. His life and destiny was being caged without knowing. If you read the book of Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, you will see the devastation that is caused by a life that is given to immorality. Let us understand that if we are going to go far in exploits, sanctification is the pathway. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, brethren, having these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Cleanse ourselves of all filthiness. There are some individuals that they don't take any physical action, but inside of their heart, all manner of corruptions. Let us cleanse ourselves, whether the corruption is inside or outside. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. My prayer for somebody upon this mountain is that whatever is threatening to damage your destiny by corruption, upon this mountain, it shall be cleansed. I said, upon this mountain, it shall be cleansed. 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 Somebody believe me, say a loud amen. As youth, you will discover, if you watch the process of life over time, those who have gone through a little bit of the journey can tell you that the people who used to be called big boys and big girls in the time of your secondary school, the time of your university, look for them 5 years after. You will discover that the destiny has been discolored. They were popular on campus, but they are ignored in destiny. Why? Because the things that made them popular, the corruptions that made them popular, have also decapitated their destiny. Please hear this. Choose to be unpopular for righteousness. For the case of righteousness, choose to be unpopular. The brothers of Joseph hated him for his righteousness' sake, but they bowed to him for his exaltation. You know, according to scriptures, Joseph was number 11 child in his family. You know how long it would take for number 11 to get recognition. But according to scriptures, look at this. Let's look at what the scripture says. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. And we'll read beginning from verse 1. You will see the value of living a sanctified life. Now, see this. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Look at verse 2. It said, for Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, But the birthright was Joseph's. Now, look at what God is saying in that scripture. That scripture is simply talking about the genealogy of all of the children of Israel. Number one child was Reuben. But the Bible says the record must be changed. Why? He defiled his father's bed. So God was saying he's not permitted to remain first. Now, number 11, you who refuse to be defiled, you who refuse to allow any corruption. Number 11, go to number one. Do you know that in the land of Israel, there is no tribe called the tribe of Joseph? Why? Joseph's children became equal to his brothers. You have the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. And those two tribes came from Joseph. So Joseph's children were equal to his brothers. He not only overtook them, he became over them. He was a father unto them. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 50, what we call patriarchal blessings, the blessings that should be given by fathers, was being given by Joseph to his brothers. Why? Simply because of his stand for righteousness. Please hear me. You may be hated for righteousness' sake, but those who hate you cannot stop you from being exalted for righteousness' sake. The Bible says, He said, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I pray for you today that grace to stand in this corrupt generation with righteousness be released upon you in the name of Jesus. I said, grace to stand in this corrupt generation with righteousness. Let that grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus. I said, let that grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Let that grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Let that grace be released upon you in the name of Jesus. So we see from that scripture, Daniel 11:32, that the first qualifier for a life of exploits is sanctification. Number two qualifier for a life of exploits, we still find in the first part of that scripture, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he will corrupt with flatteries. Flatteries. The second qualifier is the qualifier of meekness. Say with me, meekness. Say it louder, meekness. Say it again, meekness. Meekness refers to humility. Meekness refers to teachability. The ability to subject yourself. If you look at what that scripture said, it said those that do wickedly, he will corrupt them with flatteries. They will be living their life for applause. Anything that looks like vainglory will be their motivation. And the reason for that is the presence of pride. Now hear this. The scripture says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he said that, behold, the day cometh, and all the proud and all that do wickedly, they shall be stubble. He said, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. So the pride of our generation is the destruction of our generation. The answer or the antidote to pride is meekness, humility. James chapter 4 and verse 6. God resists the proud and gives more grace to the humble. And it is grace that makes great. It is grace that makes great. It is grace that makes great. But it is humility that gets grace. If you want to enjoy grace, then simply maintain a humble life. A teachable life, an instructable life. That is the secret of grace. I was praying one day, and suddenly the Lord just gave me his little insight. I remember I was driving, and suddenly he pointed a person to me and said, do you know the secret of this person? I said, no. He said, his secret is grace. You see, when grace lands on a life, it eradicates struggle. It eradicates struggle. Now, you look at this auditorium, the Faith Tabernacle. renowned to be the world's largest auditorium, carries 50,000 people at a time. If I am to shout with my natural voice to reach everybody here, the struggle will be intense. But I have something in my hand called a microphone. And it is tied to speakers which are tied to amplifiers. And what they do is simple. They take my little voice and stretch it and make it louder. What grace does is to take your little effort, it stretches it and makes it louder. An example of that is seen in the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7. The Bible says that they said, if we dwell here, we shall perish. Let us go outside. And the Bible says, as these lepers were walking, the armies of the enemy began to hear the sound of chariots. God was taking their limited steps and amplifying it for effect. That is the effect of grace. That's what grace does to a man's life. The man is walking, yes, but what he's doing cannot match what is happening. Because God is amplifying his effort for effect. There are people hearing me right now that from this hour, the things that you'll be doing, God will be amplifying it for effect. I said, God will be amplifying it for effect. I said, God will be amplifying it for effect. I said, God will be amplifying it for effect. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. I said, somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. But that grace simply answers to our meekness. Look at what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10. I am what I am. Not by my effort, but by the grace of God. I labored more abundantly than they all, but even my labor was a product of grace. When you see certain people engaging and laboring and working, and they are not getting tired, it is grace working. It is grace working. We heard the testimony of the man of God, Kenneth Copeland, who just turned 80. And according to the testimony recently, he was there preaching for 6 hours. That is not natural energy. There is no 80-year-old man that can do that. But when grace is working, even the energy you are using has not come from you. It is God working through you. I see that becoming somebody's experience now. Do you know there are people hearing the sound of my voice? That the things that will happen in your life between now and next Shiloh, nobody will be able to comprehend it. I said nobody will be able to comprehend it. Why? Because grace shall be working in your life. In the book of Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, we come across the man Moses. Now the Bible tells us this. He said Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. What was the effect of Moses' meekness? Exodus chapter 11 and verse 3. And Moses was very great. He was very meek and he ended up very great. Meekness is the key to greatness. Meekness is the key to greatness. If you stoop in meekness, you will rise in greatness. It is your commitment to meekness that determines your actualization of greatness. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 down to verse 30, Jesus speaking said, come unto me all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart. Meekness, the ability to be instructed. When you see a man who has no mentor, no instructor, he's displaying his arrogance. He has nobody that can correct him, he's displaying his arrogance. And anyone that has no meekness, no matter his talent, is not going anywhere. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? no matter his talent, he's not going anywhere. It will end in frustration. It will end in limitation. Why? Because it does not have the required attitude that releases grace. I've discovered that those who go the furthest in life are not necessarily the most talented, but they are the most engraced. Are you hearing what God is saying? They may not be as talented as others, but they are more engraced than others. And what determines their access to grace is their exhibition of meekness. Receive grace for meekness today. I said, receive grace for meekness today. We live in such a generation that there are some people, all you need to scatter their countenance is to correct them. They say, you are wrong concerning this, and everything about them goes down. Who are you to be telling me I'm wrong? What do you know? Why? Because there is no meekness there. They cannot be taught. Now, please hear this. It will help you. It is not enough to have a person you call your father. If you are not subject to their instruction, then you lack meekness. Are you hearing what God is saying? If you are not subject to their instruction, God comes through his servant, for example, and begins to declare, now we are taking such and such operation. We are entering this phase of, you know, the wonder double, you know, agenda. And then you are sitting there and saying, no, anybody can do what they like. As far as I'm concerned, I'm too busy. I don't have time for it. What you are demonstrating is absence of meekness. Please hear this. You don't go far by effort. You go far by grace. I tell people all the time, it is possible to work hard and things not work out. Because it takes God to make things work out. What does the Bible say? It said, all things work together for good to them that love God. So there must be a coordination from heaven for things to work out. I've seen people with all manner of labors, but nothing is working. Why? Because it is not effort that makes great. It is grace that makes great. Receive today everything required to maintain a life of meekness. Somebody believe it, say loud amen. I said, somebody believe it, say loud amen. I said, somebody believe it, say a loud amen. I said, somebody believe it, say a loud amen. Meekness, 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 meekness. God's servant, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, one of his mentors looked at him one day and made this statement. He said, all of your peers came to me to show me how much they knew. But you came to me to show me how much you didn't know or want to learn. And in the process of time, I discovered that you knew more than them all. They came to me to show knowledge. You came to me to get knowledge. But I discovered that you who was pursuing knowledge had more knowledge than them all. When you see a man that begins to have an attitude of a person that knows everything already, you have seen a man that will not go far. Are you hearing what God is saying? You have seen a man that will not go far. Many times in going out to soul winning, I come across many people, particularly youths. And I look at them, and as I'm speaking to them, you see some of them with the kind of attitude as if they have known everything. So the first question I ask is, how old are you? He say, I'm 19. I say, I must tell you, you are super ignorant. You don't know anything about life. You have not seen life. You have no experience. You have no acquired knowledge. You have nothing. So first, humble yourself and listen to what I have to say. One of the problems of youth is arrogance. You see a young person being instructed, he put his hand in his pocket and he's swinging from side to side. Like a palm tree that is missing direction. Are you hearing what God is saying? take the attitude of meekness. Some years ago, in the year 2007 in particular, I was in a bus with some of the leaders. We were going, some of the leaders of this commission. I was privileged to be there. I don't know why I was there. And I sat down in the bus. God's servant, the apostle over the commission, and then some of the other leaders were there, and I was sitting down in the bus. And as we're sitting in the bus, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say this specifically to me. He said, "When great men gather, keep quiet." Why? Why keep quiet? Because what you know does not match what they know. You know what you know already, but you need what they know already. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From that day till forever, when I see them gather and I mistakenly find myself in their presence, I don't go there to advertise knowledge. I go there to acquire knowledge. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So I sharpen my intellect and begin to record with my mind what I'm hearing. The things that they are teaching, the things that they are instructing, I begin to take them down. I've created a habit over the years. Anytime I go to God's servant, I go with a note. Why? It doesn't matter what he's calling me for. There's a lesson to be learned. There's a lesson to be learned. So I go with a note and write something down, because it has been said that the faintest pencil is sharper than the sharpest mind. So I go with it. It doesn't matter. People in the faith tabernacle may know many times you see him just signal to me to come. He may just be giving me one little instruction, but I carry a paper, I take a pen and go there. As he's talking, I'm writing. In the process of writing, something is being learned. And what I'm learning is what will determine where I am placed in life. Are you hearing what God is saying? But you find somebody as a young person is in church. No note, no Bible. It's just looking at the pastor like, talk on. Keep talking. That one you are saying, you have not quoted the scripture correctly. You miss a part of it. You left it like this. You see, the way you are even making the intonation, it does not show practical education. You are analyzing the teaching instead of learning from the teaching. But I pray today that the spirit of meekness will come afresh upon you. It 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 will come afresh upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. This is very vital. The attitude of meekness is a critical requirement for anyone that will enjoy greatness. The attitude of meekness. And like I've said, meekness is demonstrated in commitment to learning. Commitment to learning. Commitment to learning. Hear me. You don't see meekness by somebody just moving quietly. There are people who have a bowed countenance, but they have a raised heart. The Bible said concerning Uzziah, he said that God helped him until he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted. Nobody saw it on his face, but it was written in his heart. His heart was lifted to his own destruction. Why? Meekness disappeared. Now hear this. Look at the life of Uzziah. And to me, when I look at Uzziah, I see a king that after David and Solomon may have been the most gifted king. David was a multi-talented king. He could do almost everything. Solomon was a man of unparalleled wisdom. But Uzziah was a complex personality. You found a man that was a farmer and yet an inventor. You found a man that was a ruler and yet a warrior. He was a man that seemed to have so many parts. The Bible said that he invented engines. You had a man that was a politician per se, but as it were, was receiving direct revelations from God. The Bible said that he had he ruled in time of Zechariah that had understanding in the revelations of God. So in other words, Uzziah was having things sent directly to him from God. It looks to me like Uzziah may have been the only other king outside David that had a prophetic edge. But all of these components of Uzziah were destroyed by only one thing. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. All of his talents did not matter. It was the disposition of his heart in pride that canceled his destiny. Do you know that after Uzziah fell, he did not die. He still lived, but he was relegated. Uzziah is one of the only kings you found that stopped ruling while living. He was still alive, but his rulership ended. Do you not know that there are many people on the earth today who are still alive, but there is no life? They used to be great names in the past, but somehow you just discover that they fizzle out of the scene. One of the things that covers a destiny and terminates its light is absence of meekness. For example, the scripture says, it said, he that curseth his father, his light shall be put out in obscurity. That is, he's alive, but there's no expression. Why? There is no meekness. My prayer for you today is that God will release upon your life a new dimension of grace that will enhance your meekness. I said it will enhance your meekness. I said it will enhance your meekness. I said it will enhance your meekness. Now, Daniel 11:32. Remember, we are taking all of these points from the same scripture. We have seen so far sanctification. We have seen so far meekness. But number three is revelation. Those who do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Those who do know. Revelation. And revelation is in two dimensions. One, the revelation of God, and two, the revelation of his word. The revelation of God and the revelation of his word. What you know about God as a person determines what you receive from God as an individual. What you know about God determines what you are able to receive from God. That is why Paul the Apostle made this cry, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know thee and the power of his resurrection. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. He said that the God of our Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How much you know God determines how much you command as exploits on the earth. Now hear this. I heard this statement from God's servant, our father, Bishop David Oyedepo, said this. He said, God is so deep that only shallow men think they know enough of him. When you see a person who feels that they know enough of God, they have only shown their ignorance. God is so deep that only shallow men think they know enough of him. So it becomes critical for you and for me to continue to develop our knowledge of God. And you see, you can only know a person through fellowship. You can only know a person through fellowship. Now, if I ask everybody here, particularly those gathered here in Nigeria, who is the president of Nigeria? Everybody will call the name. Why? You know the name. But even though you know the name of the president, it does not mean you know the president. Is that true? There are people who know God, they know about God, but they don't know God. They know about who he is. If they ask who is ruling the universe, oh, it is God, of course. Who is the king of the whole earth? It is God, of course. Who is the one in charge? It is God, of course.
Who is the one bringing miracles?
It is God, of course. They know about God, but they don't know God. And I'm not just talking about salvation here, because that's foundational, but I'm talking about fellowship. How do you get to know a person? You get to know a person by fellowship. I can never forget, somebody called me one day, and we're having a discussion. And he mentioned the name of somebody who is a bit close to me. And he said, oh, such and such person is my good friend. Knowing that one is close to me. So I called him and said, this person called me and told me that he's your good friend. He said, no, we have only met once. We are not good friends. We are not even friends at all. I said, I was wondering, because if he's close to you, and as you are close to me, I should have known who he is. You see, there are many people who are claiming to be good friends of God, and God is saying, we are not friends at all. There is no fellowship, there is no union, there is no interaction. But look at what the scripture said, Jesus speaking about his own disciples. He said, I call you no more servants, but I call you friends. Now hear this. It is not you that calls God friend. It is God that calls you friend. And the ones God calls friends are the ones who have fellowship with him. Who were the ones Jesus was calling friends? His disciples. And what did he say to his disciples? He said that he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that they may go out and preach. They should be with him. So there were people who had union with him. The question I will ask you is this. You are calling on God to be one of those who will be commanding exploits. Do you have union with God? Do you have fellowship with God? Are you one of those that keeps praying emergency prayers only when it is required? Lord, I'm going for an interview. Please help me. I know I've not prayed since last year, but just help me. I just need your mercy and your grace. There are many people who call on God only when they need a miracle. They read their Bibles only when they need a miracle. They gather Bible from Sunday, it goes to sleep until the next Sunday. They have no genuine fellowship with God. You can't command exploits like that. Those who command exploits are the ones who know their God. They are confident in their God because they know their God. I've seen many people sometimes try to imitate the confidence of Bishop Oyedepo. But the truth is this, confidence cannot be imitated because the source of confidence is knowledge. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The source of true confidence is knowledge. The one you know and what you know determines your ultimate confidence. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when my enemies gathered together to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. He said, if a host should encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Knowledge of God. Your knowledge of God is what ultimately determines your confidence. I pray for you today that grace to fellowship adequately with God be released upon you today in the name of Jesus. I said grace to fellowship adequately with God be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Grace to fellowship adequately with God be released upon you in the name of Jesus. Grace to fellowship adequately with God in prayers, to fellowship with him in praise, to fellowship with him in worship, to fellowship with him in study. May that grace be made available to you today. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Now, it's too early for us as youths, for a youth to be praying, and in the process of the prayer, you have slept. You wake up the next day. That is, you have no genuine connection or fellowship. But whatever is struggling against your fellowship with God, I pray for you today that it be broken in the name of Jesus. So you know God, but second is know his word. Know his word. Know his word. Know his word. The revelation of God is one thing, but the revelation of his word is another thing. Now, let me give you this story, and I think we'll begin to wrap up from here. There was a woman who walked with a great person. I think it was the queen or something like that of a nation. Walked with her for many years. She was very close to the king, to the queen. She knew her intimately. And in the process of time, this queen died. And after she died, her property was shared. And they gave to this woman a little certificate. This woman who was very close to the queen, had served the queen for years. She had this certificate and she put it on her wall. And she began to, when people come, she shows them the certificate. I served this woman for years. She gave me a certificate. And people will come, they look at the certificate and they clap for her. But one day she was dying. Poverty was biting. Nothing anywhere. Everything was upside down. And a doctor came to the house to visit with her in order to treat her. And in the process of time, even in a state of almost at the point of death, she began to explain to the doctor, I served such and such queen for so and so number of years, and the queen gave me this certificate. And the doctor said, can I take a look at it very closely? The doctor took the certificate and began to read it. And he discovered that all the things this queen had, she had given it to her as a will. She knew the queen, but she did not know the word of the queen. She was dying of poverty when they had provided her prosperity. You see, there are people who know God but don't know his word. That is why they are suffering lack of what he has provided. It is one thing to know him by fellowship, but it's another thing to know him by the revelation of what he has said. I pray for you today that not only will you know God, but his word, his provisions for you shall be known to you from today. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Your inheritance is in his word. May you not miss your inheritance. I said, may you not miss your inheritance. I said, may you not miss your inheritance. I said, may you not miss your inheritance. Somebody believe it, say loud, amen.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that the door?
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me, and on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.